What dark deeds unfold on the streets of Arkham? And which unwitting souls, innocent or impure, will succumb to the maddening call? The Call of Cthulhu.
Experience the unknowable horror and black comedy of Nerdy Show's Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, an RPG audio drama. Find it at CthulhuMystery.com or wherever you procure fine podcasts.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. Geeky programming for all lizards across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and lizard destination. And with generous support of listeners like you, to learn how you can support this and other fine lizard programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Trench.
I'm Boar.
And I'm John.
Oh, well, well, well. In this episode, we're going to be covering all the latest happenings in the nerd world. That's what we do every other week here on Nerdy Show. So let's begin. Trench, it's been a day since you were on an episode of Nerdy Show. What's cooking?
I mean, it's kind of depressing. I don't know if we really want to get into that because we don't usually talk about that stuff on the show.
Who died? Everybody die? Everyone died, didn't they?
Everyone. Tragically.
Oh, God.
In a plane explosion.
So sorry for breaking it up.
Over the Bermuda Triangle. No, I've just had to focus on myself and personal stuff a lot recently. I had probably like the worst feelings of depression I've had in like the last 10 years.
Oh, that's
over,
so good.
Over the winter and kind of fucked up a lot of shit I had going on, and so I've just been cleaning up my everything.
Is that why you asked me if we were had the Nerdy Show listener requested microsode about social anxiety and depression?
Partially.
Scheduled yet? We don't have that scheduled yet. We're gonna do that eventually. Sounds like most of us probably could use that.
Possibly.
Though fortunately, it's not the winter anymore. The winter is the brisk killer. It's quite brisk outside, and it will statistically kill you more likely than not.
And this is the only documented case where this has ever happened, but I actually said, Trench, have you tried not feeling like that? And he was like, huh, no, I guess I haven't. And that's what snapped him out of it, and here he is. He's doing a lot better now.
If only, yeah, right?
And you're welcome, by the way.
Thanks for making it all about you, Boar.
That's how I do. You really granted him some much-needed clarity. Well, John, how about you? What's new for our favorite virtual boy?
I've been watching them Space Dandy because I'm, you know, out of touch with reality.
Oh, finally. You're right? Finally. How do you like the show that I loved several years ago?
It took me a little bit to be like, well, there are absolutely no rules and there's literally no rules about anything that happens in this. I like the second season.
There is at least one rule, and that is they always go to
boobies.
Space
Dandy always survives.
No,
even if he doesn't.
No, you're right, Matt. He always goes to boobies.
And everything's canon, even though, you know, nothing makes any sense about how anything at all.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, John.
I don't know anything about this show, but I do now know that there's boobies and cannons.
Oh, that's as bad as when we're zombies.
Oh, well.
And he's a dandy guy.
Okay,
in space.
So you're right. I just disregarded the fact that people might not know what Space Dandy is, and I just assumed it was only John who was out of touch.
Oh.
Space Dandy is a anime made by the same team that made Cowboy Bebop, and it's like Red Dwarf the anime.
How old is it? Is it newer,
like,
than Bebop?
Two, 3 years at this point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's fairly new.
Yeah, it's fairly new. It's two self-contained seasons, a remarkable soundtrack, incredible animation. They hired on a different designer for every individual alien species, so they
Not
all
every,
look different.
Every episode.
Oh, for every...
For each episode, they had a different guy design, a different person, I should say, design the aliens.
Interesting.
And really, every episode is its own unique and precious gem.
Yeah, it's not just the seasons that are self-contained. It's each episode is self-contained.
Huh. Well, I'll have to check that out. That sounds cool.
Yeah, it is. It is very cool.
Speaking of anime, I've actually been catching up on Dragon Ball Super, which is great.
Everyone keeps saying that Dragon Ball Super lives up to its name.
It's really good. If you like the original Dragon Ball Z in any way, shape, or form, this will hit.
What about
all
just
of the right
original
buttons.
Dragon Ball?
Yeah, I'm with John.
Yeah,
what about
that too.
Because when Z started, I was like, I don't care about this anymore. But Dragon Ball, yeah, I love me a Dragon Ball singular.
This kind of takes on Dragon Ball Z's mantle, where absolutely everybody they fight, they just keep turning up the power.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, solving more problems with, hey, Goku, just get stronger. No problem. You know, that type of thing. But it's still fun. There's a lot of more slice of life episodes that are hilarious. And you get to see, like, what they're doing and when they're not fighting. And that's pretty fun.
That's good. The slice of life stuff was my favorite part always. The training was not. I have a question.
There's only so many training montage, right?
It's not really a montage so much as it is episodes
on end.
Everybody
gets the shit kicked out of them until they just
training,
get stronger.
Training is way better than powering up for multiple episodes.
That's true. I mean,
charging my attack?
No.
Okay, I have a question then. So will you be able to get into Dragon Ball Super if the last Dragon Ball you saw was, let's say, the Frieza saga?
It assumes that you saw all the way through the Buu saga.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it.
But it totally disregards GT.
It disregards some Dragon Ball, huh?
It disregards GT, which wasn't made by Toriyama.
Oh.
They just kind of like went off on their own tangent with that one, and it was kind of its own crazy thing.
I feel you. Okay, so it's the Highlander 2 of Dragon Ball.
Yeah, and if GT was still canon, it would still be like further in the future than Super is currently, because Pan was more grown up. She's just a baby in this one, but you don't even know who that is because you didn't finish Dragon Ball
Z. I have no idea. Yeah.
Hello.
In fact, thanks to one convention with Arceus, which was very slow and very pointless, I watched a lot of Dragon Ball Z abridged for the first time after years and years of people telling me.
You could probably actually watch all of Dragon Ball Z abridged and then start watching Super.
I was about to make inquiries because I did actually surpass the amount of Dragon Ball Z that I'd seen for like IRL Dragon Ball Z.
That would probably work.
Okay. That sounds better.
But if you wanted the full experience, I would probably watch Dragon Ball Kai.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Dragon Ball Kai,
they remastered the original Dragon Ball Z, like they re-scanned all of the original cells.
Uh-huh.
And then they cut out a lot of the filler and bullshit.
A lot of the charging my special attack
and
for
the
10-minute
recap and what's happening next time.
Well, that sounds ideal.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. And so Super is that's on what, Cartoon Network these days or
Crunchyroll is the easiest way to watch it.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't watch anime, so I don't use Crunchyroll. I'm out of touch.
I don't know what's on cable ever, so, you know, I can tell you the streaming service to look at, but that's about it. That's all you're going to get out of me.
Ever. Well, all right. And John, let's see, you were watching Space Danny. Okay, so then we covered Boar. You've been watching, so it's just me then, I guess.
Yeah, go for it. What do you got?
What do I got? What do I got? I finally saw Wonder Woman. It was really good.
Oh, finally.
I know. Like, I know.
Shit, I still haven't seen Wonder Woman.
Like a year later?
Yeah.
Congrats.
Well, a little bit. A little bit less than a year. But yeah, no, it was great. It was worth the wait.
Did you notice the parallels with Dragon Ball Z?
I did not. Should I have?
Basically, the last fourth of the movie is Dragon Ball Z.
Can you explain that?
I can, but it would be major spoilers.
Let's just assume. Well, Brent. Okay, Trench hasn't seen it.
I don't
so,
really care, though. So.
Well, let's assume that everyone caught up at the same time as I did.
At a certain point, she starts fighting Frieza, and things start to happen in the same exact way that Goku fought Frieza.
Huh. I don't even remember
enough
of it.
I should say I have seen like the first 15 or 30 minutes, like up until right before she leaves the island.
It's just funny that we were talking about Dragon Ball Z, and then you brought up a movie that I compare to Dragon
yeah
Ball.
Well, I mean that's fascinating, and I'm probably like, oh wow, yeah, but I don't remember.
I'll break it down to you more in detail
off the mic
okay. But I don't want to spoil anybody's day
beyond
what I already did.
I feel you. That's great. That's very good and respectful and awesome. Rats off to you.
But a lot of people that have seen it will probably know what I'm talking about if you're Dragon Ball fans.
Let's see, Riverdale came back from a short hiatus. I just want to give props to Riverdale again because they had an episode where they went to like kind of like a staycation somewhere, and they like the details in the show, the weird complex nerdity in the show that's so specific. There's like the pillowcases that Archie and Veronica are sleeping on have the pattern of the floor tiles from the Shining Hotel on them. What? This show is so weird. Like they're huh. like if and I wouldn't have even really remembered that or recognized that pattern, except that I drew them last year for an assignment. So like, but that's so nuanced, and I love that show.
Interesting.
It's so weird.
I've seen people inject that pattern into a lot of art in the past few years.
Yeah.
God, I thought you were just saying into their arm.
Yes, they inject patterns into their arm.
They take stills of the film, and then they just grind it up and just shoot it up.
Hey, man, you want to shoot up some art?
It's like, you're saying shooting up some art. You're saying injecting your arm. It's like you're talking about the art of tattooing, which is basically injecting into your arm over and over and over and over and over again with a tiny needle full of ink.
Yeah, I've got
it. I prefer the idea that there's no rational reason to do it, and it's just pure nuts ritual.
Honestly, if you...
Well, I was going to say, you can have reasons for doing it, but like I've got three tattoos.
No, I think John...
No. Dark reasons, French. Very dark. Like actually grinding up the film and putting it in your body for some reason.
Okay.
Like when Kiss did the blood pact and put some of their blood in the vial, in the ink tanks that made their Marvel comic from the 1970s.
Yeah.
I actually saw a really cool tattoo that had like UV reactive ink. So it was like black light would make it show up.
That's
I think that
amazing.
Would be really cool for something like a Full Metal Alchemist transmutation circle somewhere on your body that if you got under black light, it would just like show up glowing.
And I was just thinking it would be really
aren't
cool.
Formulations dangerous.
Of equivalent
of course.
Exchange.
It would be
the equivalent exchange.
The Shining Tiles would be actually a really cool sleeve tattoo. And then you could put that some of that special ink on it. And when you hit a black light, it says red rum.
Yeah, you can totally do that.
And if you do that, please write in Nerdy Show. We'd be thrilled.
How much are you willing to pay me to get that done?
We don't have that kind of budget.
I've got $10.
But start an Indiegogo.
Not enough.
You'll get some very rabid Stephen King fans that will want you to do that. I'm pretty sure. And then you can go work at a hotel or try to, and they'll be like, look at your arms and be like, we ain't hiring you, pal. We don't want to clean up the blood stains.
But for my $10, think of how much triple antibiotic ointment you could buy to cover up that tattoo after you got it done.
Maybe a vial?
Which would be enough.
Would it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
No.
I also just saw A Wrinkle in Time, which is my topic for today.
I know absolutely nothing about that movie.
I read the
other
book.
Other than Oprah is in it.
I read the book in sixth grade, and it has been so long that at this point I remember like nothing about the book except that there is a girl who is the main character and she has a younger brother.
And Oprah.
And their dad goes missing.
And Oprah's in it.
John, you've read this book.
I have.
Do you remember this book at all?
I remember bits and pieces, but my recollections are probably nuts. I remember her waking up naked on a bed or something with strange aliens around her and slowly coming to terms with their bizarre, weird ways of communicating.
So this is a sexy movie.
I doubt that happens.
That does happen, actually, but not in the movie. That is actually part of my favorite sequence when Meg meets Aunt Beast. But they cut it out for understandable reasons. Mostly due to understandable pacing reasons, but let me break the story down. So, A Wrinkle in Time is written by Madeline Liangle, and it's a mid-20th century science fiction that she had a really hard time selling when she was shopping it around because it is a hard sci-fi and it is a children's book. So they're dealing with physics concepts like tesseracts and so on that are only common to normal people, folk. You know,
I thought that was a Marvel concept.
That's a name that they arbitrarily applied to one of the Infinity Gems. Anyway, the plot of A Wrinkle in Time is there's a scientist who disappeared, and he left behind his wife, his daughter, and their young autistic son. And he's been gone for a few years, but then one night...
That poor kid, he was probably vaccinated.
One night, a strange woman shows up, and... their lives get thrust into chaos because there are forces at work. Their father disappeared without a trace. That was kind of the weird thing about it. He didn't just walk off one day and he had a happy life. He wouldn't just disappear. But now this small town is talking. And
didn't he disappear from like the basement or something? Like,
I forget where he disappeared in the book. I guess probably his lab, which would be in the house.
Yeah.
But these three women show up, Mrs. What's-It, Mrs. Witch, and Mrs. Who, and they are celestial beings. You find out in the book, though not in the movie at all, that they were once stars, that all stars are sentient, and that they sacrificed their blissful existence as a gas giant to become corporeal beings of a kind in order to help save the universe from the darkness.
Yeah, I remember there's some kind of like light versus dark great war going on.
It seems like if you were trying to stop the darkness, you'd be really dumb to stop being a star.
And now I'm randomly remembering kids bouncing balls.
Yes, there's a very famous sequence where Meg, the main character, and Charles Wallace, her little brother, and this boy named Calvin, who is along for the ride.
Ridiculous.
They travel to a planet that's been consumed in darkness called Kamazots, where one of the first things that they see there is a suburban 1950s cookie cutter landscape where all these children are bouncing
it's
balls
completely
in
darkness
and outside. It is the darkness is an ethereal darkness. It's a conceptual darkness. It's not a literal darkness.
I was going to say that'd be really dumb if their star just decided to become a person.
Well, yeah, no, it's both a hard science fiction and also a metaphysical fable of a kind. Like it's about not darkness in the kind of typical sense that we see in cinema of not a war in any kind of typical sense. It's about kind of like a hearts and minds sort of thing. It's about the corrupting influence of dark forces that bring people down, and then when someone becomes afraid, then they'll they'll lash out to someone else, and just sort of the plague that negativity does cause. And
is our world currently in this state?
There's a shadow. It's like a smog haze over the world that you can't see.
No, I mean now.
Presently now?
Yes.
Yeah, this is a very
in real life.
Very timely release for the film. I'm sure Madeline L'Engle felt it back in the mid-century, you know, during their Cold War. Now that we're in another one, this is a very, very well-timed film to come out.
Are we really in a Cold War right now?
And we are in the darkest timeline.
If we are, did we just switch sides and that's the difference between the old one and the new one?
You know, perspective is important in this, and I don't feel that we have any right now. Huh. It's all too crazy and cluttered.
Because if there was a Cold War right now, it would probably be North Korea, us, and Russia versus the world, right? That seems right.
You're forgetting China's participation.
Oh, yeah, China probably too.
Yeah, life is like a magic eye that you can't discern the massive image.
It's a motherfucking kaleidoscope right now.
Well, that's what, you know, a magic eye until eventually you can see the schooner. But I don't think we're going to see the schooner anytime soon.
Not a schooner. It's a boat.
Yeah. So A Wrinkle in Time is a very complicated story, a very difficult story to adapt. And this is not the first time it's been done. It was done on television about 10 years ago on ABC, and it was done very poorly.
That's not surprising, considering.
Was Oprah in that one too?
No.
Oh.
However,
that's probably why it failed.
A member of Corky and the Juice Pigs weirdly played.
What the hell is a Corky and a Juice
character
Pig?
Called the Happy Medium, who's now played by Zach Galifianakis in this film. The Corky and the Juice Pigs are a.
Now, if you were to tell me Zach Galifianakis and Corky and the Juice Pig, I would probably be like, that sounds like a good role for him.
Yeah, he did a good job. Just real quick, Corky and the Juice Pigs were a early 90s comedy rock group. They're kind of surrealist. They're a lot of fun.
Seems like a nickname for Zach Galifianakis.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why he took the role. He was probably a big fan. Is he Canadian?
Everybody who's kind of funny usually is.
Well, Corky and the Juice Pigs were Canadian, so he probably is familiar with their work.
I know nothing about Zach
The Bare Naked Ladies used to open for Corky and the Juice Pigs. For some perspective there. But, you know, a kind of perspective. I don't know what perspective it is.
At one
the
point,
kind of
every band
living
starts
in?
To open for some other lesser band, right?
Yeah, probably. Yes. The answer is yes. Anyway, the Wrinkle in Time film, it had a lot riding on it. The trailer looked very compelling. I'm a huge fan of it. And early on, like in my youth, it was probably the first written work that I read and thought, I'd love to make a movie of this. So I've got some very strong opinions about what should and shouldn't be in the film. What they've done with it is interesting because they took what was a kind of, I suppose there was not a strong visual element to the book outside of certain sort of like a certain geometry to it, like a cul-de-sac of bouncing balls or the strange wastelands on other planets and so on. There were some, they were not really particularly like meticulously described. It's a children's book after all. Sometimes they go whole hog, sometimes they don't. But in this case, it's like they said, we're going to make this Alice in Wonderland. We're going to make this The Wizard of Oz for now. And as such, the set design is great. The costume design is absolutely bonkers. And they've added a very substantial visual element to this film. It's very, it's like a music video. It's kind of like, you know that movie The Cell with Jennifer Lopez?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like The Cell, but not a horror movie.
Hmm.
And it's not a foolproof adaptation. There are some things that I really do take issue with and some missing pieces I wish were there. But the heart of the film, the agenda of the story, or the heart of the story and the agenda of it is actually there in a pretty compelling way. The main character matters a lot. Charles Wallace, the little kid, who's a very central point. He's like an unusual little boy who didn't talk for a long time, and then all of a sudden he talked with big, big words. He's very well handled in this. Unfortunately, Calvin, the like Meg's potential love interest, is he's really well done, but he doesn't get enough screen time in this. And Oprah's in it, and she's great. She's actually.
I heard that Oprah was in it.
There
actually.
Was a, you know, I had a theory for a while that Oprah, you know, maybe was secretly dead, and they just took a bunch of photos of her, and that's how there's a different picture of her on the cover of her magazine every month. But it turns out she's alive, and she's still doing, she's doing great stuff. You know, I hadn't seen her in forever.
How much did you like this movie? Should I go see it? Should everybody go see it?
That is.
Should I only go see it if I've got Movie Pass? Like, how good is it?
It was good, but I do think it could have been an all-ages film, and in this case, I think it was really a very a challenging film for a younger audience. So I don't really think that it's going to, like, it's very cool to watch. I think it could have had more substance for adults to watch as well. So I'm going to say, Boar, you might like parts of it, but I don't think overall you'd be like, eh, that was all right. I mean,
you don't think I would even say that's all right.
No, I think you would say that.
Oh, okay.
I think you would say that, but I think they probably wouldn't get much further than that.
Oh, okay.
But I do think that it is an important movie. There's a lot of reasons this movie is important. One is that it has these, like, it is kind of a hard sci-fi movie. It has a very good message in it. And it has an extremely diverse cast. That, I mean, it's about a young girl who's like interested in physics. There's lots of like merit in it. It could potentially empower people, especially young women. And for that reason, I think that, you know, if you want to see this film, you should see this film. It will be a good time. It might not, maybe if you're like me and grew up reading it, and I probably read this book probably more than any other book, which isn't saying much because it's a quick read, but like I go back to it often, and, you know, I would have wanted more from it, but what I got was very well done. And if they'd gone a little bit farther, it was already a 2-hour long movie. If they had another 20 minutes, it probably would have been perfect. Or even 15, but you know, they already were making a long, you know, all ages film. So,
well, I do need to feel more empowered as a woman. So maybe I will go see it.
And if you have kids, don't hesitate. Do see this film. Like, it might be a little dark for them, and good, because I grew up on Watership Down, and that shit's important.
Yep, subjecting kids to horror builds character.
This film was really well put together, and I'd say the one thing it was lacking is if we're looking at other directors to compare work to, it could have had a little bit more David Lynch, a little more Richard Kelly, the guy who did Donnie Darko, and The Box. I think if you took this film Wrinkle in Time as it currently is and combined it with Richard Kelly's film The Box, you'd get a more perfect Wrinkle in Time film. But don't take my word for it.
That's all I've got to go on at this point.
Well, too bad. You guys, yeah, see it yourself. Use a movie pass. I don't know. It's really good. It's there are sequels to this book. This movie did not set them up really. The book does not rely on its sequels. It's a great standalone story. But it would be kind of neat if someone attempts to make the follow up book A Wind in the Door. That will be absolutely mind blowing, because that one is very difficult to wrap one's head around. So I would love to see them try. So
I remember trying to read that and I just got like after the first chapter, I was like, I'm going to kill myself.
That's very why? Do you remember why?
No, I just remember being like, oh, what's even happening? I have no idea what's going on. The end.
I had a similar experience with Dune. It was just, and it's not that I couldn't get my head around what was happening because I'd seen like the TV miniseries that was produced before I read the book. Mm-hmm. So I had an overall, you know, what the idea of what was going on. It was just the way the story is written. It's so dry. And I just got bored. I just couldn't read that book.
These are different books.
Not everybody is Warren Ellis. Not everybody's talking about inflating your testicles with a saline solution.
Not everybody is, but you know what we are now.
It's a great pastime, that.
I can't even imagine how painful that would be.
No, man, that's hamster chic. You got to have your balls, like, you know, be disproportionate to the rest of your, well, or, you know,
I saw the South Park episode. You need to just put them in the microwave or whatever they did. Then you can bounce up and down on them.
I don't think I saw that one.
Really?
That's interesting.
You probably would remember the one where Randy was bouncing around on his testicles.
I don't.
Like one of those big inflatable bouncy things.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So hop along or whatever those are called.
I never had one.
I don't know what the branding is on that. And I would hazard to guess that there might have been, you know, multiple attempts at that. But yoga balls for children. Yoga balls with handles. Yoga balls with pleasure nubs. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, that's enough about that. I think that you should, if you see the movie, and if you've read the book, get ready to, I suppose, check some of your high expectations if they were potentially as high as mine, but it's very good. And if you have kids, see it. If you want an incredible visual experience, see it. If you take drugs, maybe see it. It might be good. I hear that that's a good thing to do.
Or horrible, depending.
Well, no, here's the thing. People take drugs and watch Pink Floyd's The Wall, and that's a terrible idea, because not only is that movie an anti-drug film, by all respect, like, that's a horrible, scary movie. It's a scary, scary movie. Why would you want to...
Some people are into that, man.
It is itself a bad trip without any augmentation. So I'm just, you know... But this movie, it's pretty good. Visually, it's pretty good. It'll take you places. Anyway... let's talk about Alexa laughing at people spontaneously. That's a thing that happened in the past couple weeks. And
I think I had like 3 or 4 people ask me if my Alexa had gone crazy.
Do we know anyone to whom this happened to?
No.
So apparently Alexa would randomly start...
I know several people that have many of them too, and nobody said anything.
It would just start laughing? That's the thing?
That was the reported thing, but as it turned out, the reason why was that... basically, it would be on occasion misinterpreting stuff because the command was Alexa laugh.
Yeah, there was a bug or a glitch in the algorithm that managed its voice recognition stuff for that specific command. So it would just pick out of white noise going on in the background that it would think that it heard somebody say the command.
Huh.
It's like...
That's weird.
Yeah, that's like...
So it must have just been like certain conditions in certain people's houses.
Basically, yeah.
Causing a false positive for a very, very short command, which they've now changed to, hey, Alexa, can you laugh? In which case it goes, yes, I can.
And then does it starts laughing.
So now if it accidentally hears that, it's just going to go, yes, I can.
Which is maybe worse.
Yeah.
Because then it's Alexa making a statement about, you know, the powers... The powers that Alexa has, which are exponential. Yes,
well, it only has as much power as you give it, but...
Sure. Many people bequeath...
People are tempted to give it a lot of power.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, you know, your cell phone or your personal computer these days, where you get all complacent with, like, your passwords and stuff that you leave in.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of complacency happening right now. We got it's gonna be an interesting day when all of our respective smart home scenarios are simultaneously hacked.
And just, yeah.
You're worried about that. Christ, I'm already worrying about Ghost in the Shell.
So this was a benign case where, like, literally all it did was, you know, laugh creepily. What happens when the command for, like, hey, Alexa, order me pizza, or...
Oh, that's
know,
already happened. People, like, it'll hear stuff off TV and just order stuff for people. And I always think that those are hilarious because then you have to, like, you have enabled... the feature for like voice purchases like that, which I think is kind of dumb.
That's
it's literally insane to do that.
It's engineering your own irresponsibly, even if you are the one telling Alexa to do that for you.
Yeah, I can see why Amazon wants you to be able to have that ability, but I don't understand why anyone would want to order things that way, like on their own.
Or worse, you know, like say society goes along the way where we've decided that it's appropriate or a good idea to give like defense technology these kinds of systems. When it's like, oh, hey, it decided to pick out the launch codes somehow.
Yeah, well, even if like, say you wanted to be able to reorder ramen really easily from Alexa, and you wanted to say, Alexa, order ramen. And it's like, all right, ordered 78 cases of ramen. Like, that's the thing about Amazon is there's so many different selections and then quantities and stuff like that and different sellers that you can buy from that you never know what you're going to be buying just with a simple voice command like that.
It is really that random? You don't set it up in advance to like...
I don't know. Like, I've never enabled that, but it's probably easier for a reorder than...
I think it's more for like a reorders of an order you've already completed, but...
But you can just order brand new stuff too. Like, you can be like, hey, Alexa, what are some deals today? And it'll be like, I've got a TV. Yeah.
You know, I totally forgot something. I saw another movie recently. I saw half of it. I need to see the rest of it, and I'm looking forward to it.
I can't wait to hear what you think about half of this movie that we don't know what it is.
Oh, yes. You cannot wait. It's called The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T. And this is a movie.
Oh, is this the Dr. Seuss one?
Yeah. This is a movie written by Dr. Seuss. It was made in 1953, and it has been lost in obscurity. Dr. Seuss even omitted it from his autobiography.
It's one of those, like, I saw the still from it that got posted in the lounge, and it's just one of those crazy things where it's like, I feel like I've seen it somehow, but it's probably just one of those things.
It's possible. There are people who have seen this before. I'd never heard about this before, but I have a friend who works at MeTV, and she was promoting it being aired, which I'm assuming is a kind of random occurrence. This probably doesn't get shopped around too much. This thing is, you ever seen The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari? It's like a German horror film. This thing is insane. Dr. Seuss worked on the set design. Dr. Seuss wrote the songs. Dr. Seuss supervised the choreography for this. And it's about a little boy who goes into this Alice in Wonderland like dreamland, hence the connection to Wrinkle in Time, where this piano teacher is setting up a piano to be played by 500 little boys. So hence the 5,000 fingers. And this little boy's mom has been brainwashed by this guy, and he's wandering through this dystopian Dr. Seuss setting to try to help her, and getting this plumber to like convince this plumber guy to like to help him out in a pre-Super Mario kind of hero plumber kind of way. And there's odd things like two men that looks sort of like the Thompson twins from The Adventures of Tintin with conjoined beards on roller skates doing all these like trick moves. It's super strange. And the movie had a test run made of it. It didn't test well at all.
Weird.
So they chopped a bunch out of it, added in a new framing device that's like the opening of the film, and then eliminated something like 11 of the songs from the movie, though they were released on a subsequent soundtrack record. The original cut of it has been lost. Along with it, tons and tons of the most unusual, darkest stuff from the film, because apparently it was made as like a response to World War II. Let's see, what is it? The themes of world dominance and oppression coming out of World War II was the original 1,200-page script that Dr. Seuss wrote for this.
Wow.
Do you want to conjoin beards so we can do some sick tricks, Spore?
Sick tricks!
It might take quite a while to grow out a beard. And then we'd have to get that conjoining technology.
No, you just weave them together. Weave the strands together. In fact, start now.
I don't know how to weave anything.
Get good. Anyway, from what I've seen so far, it's incredible. It's really dark. It's really strange. The songs are dumb, but like... But actually, because they're like Dr. Seuss rhymes, the lyrics are like pretty, it's pretty well written for like the dumb music of the era and the obligatory, like, we got to have a musical sequence because it's a Hollywood picture. Like, it's actually kind of like charming because they're just as saccharine and stupid as, say, like, Cheer Up Charlie, the worst song in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. But the lyrics are actually good because Dr. Seuss was good at wordplay.
Hmm.
Anyway, 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T, you can buy it on DVD. It is super strange. And if you if you know anyone who might have that original version, it is imperative, morally
that you
so.
You burn it and leave it
no!
to go to waste
that
forever.
You force them to bring it public. We got to see this thing. It's like one of the great lost films of the 1950s. It's got to be.
Kill it with fire.
Air quotes, great.
Yeah, air quotes, great. But I mean, I can guarantee this. You've never seen anything like it before. That's got to be true.
That's not necessarily a good thing, though.
Isn't it, though? Isn't it in a world where we see so many of the same things over and over and over again that someone made a film that is remarkably different from anything you've ever seen before?
So is it Prospero's books, then?
It is the Prospero's books of the 1950s.
Oh, God.
Thanks for bringing up Prospero's books. You can hear me talk about Prospero's books a little bit more in next week's episode.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
What the hell? Why are you even talking about that thing?
This is just beautiful synchronicity at play, John. Next week, we're doing an episode on independent sci-fi fantasy publishing. It's a listener request, and we speak with Ali Grauer of Get Hype Podcast and Warda from One Shot Network about publishing fiction books. So get excited for that. John, is there any other science and technology stuff we should be bringing up right now, aside from, Alexa's eventual robot dominance?
I mean, the other thing that's been shuffled around a bit is the crazy shots coming from NASA's infrared camera floating around Jupiter. The North Pole has some really crazy shit going on there.
Well, like what?
Giant, massive, spinny tornadoes, grandiose scale, geometric patterns. It looks like a bundle of roses, practically, but also polygonal. Is that even a... Anyway.
As in made of polygons.
Yes, as in there's one huge one, and then there's a whole bunch of them around it.
Isn't that spinning. Something that we already know about Jupiter, is that there's a bunch of spinny shit on it?
Well, there's the big eye, but yeah. I mean, like,
yeah,
this
giant,
is crazy.
That's some
you look
giant
at the photo and you're
shit.
Like, what the fuck am I even looking at? Seriously, I do not understand.
Yeah, but like, I mean, I guess it'd be cool to look at, but is it really that unexpected?
I think the geometric
have you seen
qualities
these
of it.
Things? The geometric stuff you can actually see frequently if you look at various thermodynamic systems, but seeing it also
as
happen
I usually
it,
am.
Know, well, yeah, I mean, clearly you read Into the Cool, the foremost book on.
Hey, I wrote By Your Way to Cool. Don't talk to me about cool.
But it's crazy to see it on that kind of a scale. And it's really quite a striking piece of work from just an artistic perspective, like the photo. Well, actually, I guess it was a composite from like a billion sources. Anyway, nuts, weird stuff. Well, other than that, though, I mean,
the sound of the spheres, man.
There was also the incident where a Chinese courtroom actually had a guy wandering around wearing a Vive. I guess he was the only witness to a murder or something.
Yeah, they used VR in a courtroom in China to recreate the murder scene.
The witness was able to actually walk around in the courtroom and, showing up on huge monitors or whatever, and he did this and he grabbed the person there and then, basically talk through the entire thing within, this virtual representation of the actual crime scene.
Huh.
And
so that happened.
Which is fascinating and very, very cyberpunk. Congratulations, China. What end? I mean, like, was that made to help the jury empathize with the scenario that he was speaking on, or?
Well, to be fair, I think that it would definitely help juries actually understand what really happened. Because, I mean, what do we have today? Like, somebody would have to sit there and, like, CG a, dramatic representation of what occurred or not. Instead, the guy's able to basically, like, walk into that space and explain the entire thing. So it's almost like you just went on a field trip to the actual crime scene where the witness was able to go, they did this and then that and then the other and then he grabbed this thing and, like really walk them through it in a blow by blow. So, I mean, this is really about educating the jury heavily on what really actually happened. I mean, otherwise it's just sort of like, well, this guy walked in and then I guess, he attacked him from behind and he had this knife thingamajigger and, So, yeah, I mean,
I find it hard to imagine a scenario where if I was one of the jurors, I wouldn't just be like, well, that was unnecessary. Especially since if everybody had VR headsets on and they were walking everybody through it virtually, I could see maybe.
Or if they were trying to sway your opinion and put you in the perspective of the victim.
Something like that.
Or if the actual physical environment was very, very important to what was going on or not, to be able to truly understand the case.
The thing that I think is weirdest about this is thinking about someone having to program the low poly assets for this whole experience.
That's kind of where I'm hung up on it. It's like, if they had enough to do this, like, how is it much different than just generating a pre-rendered video that the victim was like, okay, then I was here, then I was here. Like, why did the victim have to do it in real time in front of them?
Well, that was probably for the sympathy, definitely. But I mean, it is interesting to think about, like, how that would wind up going in the future. I mean, Heavy Rain, right?
What?
The video game Heavy Rain. What does that have to do?
Yeah, the video game Heavy Rain.
I haven't played that.
What the shit?
Have you played Fahrenheit? Or...
I feel like I'm probably not alone in the listener base either. So just saying the name of a video game. And...
Okay.
Have you played Fahrenheit or Indigo Prophecy?
No.
Heavy Rain is incredibly depressing and a very weird game. I mean, I don't know that there's too many things really like it because it's just so very bizarre.
It's more it's a choose your own adventure type video game, basically.
It's also just super depressing, right? Anyway, the whole point about it is that there's like a CIA agent in it, and he actually has like a futuristic augmented reality setup, which to me is one of the most bizarre parts about the entire game.
Oh, yeah, I saw Minority Report.
It's not really necessarily a great analogy with this, but anyway, it basically brings up the whole thing of like, if you have AR, if you have like video cameras on agents' glasses and are able to actually go to the scene and, you know, all of the Kinect style room mapping technologies so that they can actually pull up tons of data, you know, do like Batman style chemical analysis on site and all those sorts of things. You could actually imagine then having entire teams of specialists basically in virtual reality through those people's glasses being participatory on the scene as almost like holograms, going around checking shit.
You can design version 2.0, but it sounds like the 1.0 with only the victim being in VR and everybody else watching through a 2D monitor sounds like just kind of pointless. I just can't imagine a scenario where that was helpful.
Kids these days.
It is weird, but yeah, I mean, I think at this point, I can't imagine it being helpful either. Do we, what were the results
of
this?
What if it was an assassination? What if it was because there was a specific angle that you could only see through, and so he was able to actually go and be like, you can't really see, but if you get right here, you can get a clean shot on
it. I love the random accent that you get while you go there.
For a Chinese guy. And again, why could they have not have pre-rendered this? Because they could have just, you know... showing all these angles and important shit. They already had it rendered out in 3D. And also, making the witness relive some sort of crime doesn't sound like the greatest thing ever either. Maybe it wasn't like a very super violent crime. But could you imagine if it was a murder and you're like, all right, we're going to put these...
I think
these,
it was a murder.
It
was a murder.
Yeah, it was actually a murder.
Well, okay. So it's a witness?
Yeah, it's a witness to the murder.
But still, you're making them relive shit in 3D?
Yes, in the courtroom.
That's awful.
Okay, China.
So in my mind,
I mean, elect their president for life. So
this is
did
they, or did the president push something?
The only witness of a murder.
I've never heard of China having much choice in anything political.
That's true.
But yeah, okay. So we pointed out that they could have probably pre-rendered it, and you're also maybe giving your victim some sort of PTSD. Or a witness.
Probably.
Yeah, this is a dumb idea. I'm going to categorize this under dumb.
Okay, well then. Doom. That was the sound of the stamp. It says dumb.
Wait,
when
did we
letters.
Get a stamp? Shit.
So this is the part of the show where we point out that Nerdy Show and all the programs in the Nerdy Show Network are entirely listener supported, and we rely on you to keep this and other shows in the Nerdy Show Network alive. You can tell a friend. That's pretty rad. You can rate and review us on iTunes. That's super helpful. Also, Podchaser, a burgeoning, up-and-coming resource for podcast discovery, the IMDb of podcasts, so I'm told. You can rate and review not just shows, but also individual episodes there. And you can also provide us with your hard-earned money on a monthly basis via Patreon, and that is the best way to keep us, an independent platform, alive. We have some new patrons. Who are they?
SCSCMA Bookstore at 1112 Stephen Street.
You read everything put in front of you?
Yes.
That's a receipt.
Well, why was it in front of me?
I don't know. What is it?
It's for a 3x5 leather pentagram.
Okay, that's Ghostbusters spoilers. You put that away.
Well, what was it doing here on the table?
It fell out of the bag. I had nothing to do with that. That's Doug's business.
So this other piece of paper...
Should I just start reading random trash, too?
No!
Is that what we're doing now?
So our new patrons are John Lees and Stephen William.
Welcome! Thank you so much for joining Nerdy Show on Patreon. You kind, wonderful souls. You visited patreon.com/nerdyshow, and you did your business. Right on us.
Also, we have pentagrams for you.
Yeah, email us. We'll send you a pentagram.
We also have a message from Big Bad Shadow Man.
Oh, yeah. That's another way you can support us. You can support us by
purchasing things that you would normally buy otherwise through our Amazon links.
Yeah, it's true. That is a way to support us. And Big Bad, he wrote in and told us what he bought. What'd he buy?
He says, after the last Lightning Dogs hangout, I got the Art of Shin Godzilla book. And oh man, there is a bunch of freaky stuff in it. I also bought something through our Amazon links recently. I bought a power supply for my mining rig.
Oh, that's great. That's very expensive.
Yeah.
It probably gave us some decent cash.
Probably.
Thanks, Trench.
Tens of cents. Thanks, Trench.
And some pocket
money. It all adds up. Now, through our Patreon, there's an assortment of different perks that we have available, and one of them is to have a shout-out. And it just so happens that Jeffrey McSorley has requested a reoccurring shout-out. John, will you please do the honors?
Do you have old shirts? Shirts that are nerdy, but have holes in them, or simply are too stretched out from wearing them over the last 1, 2, or even 5 years? Well, boy howdy, do I have a suggestion for you. Toss out your old crummy clothes or donate to a thrift store and replace them with genuine Nerdy Show t-shirts. Yes, you heard me right. You too can replace your faded Mario and Game of Thrones tees with the likes of your favorite Nerdy Show Network show. Show support for Nerdy Show to your friends, or just get a Peekathor and astound all around you with its glory. Eliminate the ragged shirts of yesteryear and replace your wardrobe with all the shirts that Nerdy Show has to offer. Just follow the links at nerdyshow.com/store.
Thanks. Another way you can support us is by giving us a one-time donation. And every so often, a kind soul wanders in and says, hey, I just want you to have a big lump sum of money. Here you go. And that's what happened, well, when Kutsushita dropped $50 on us, as he's been doing quite often recently. Thank you so much, Kutsushita. And then also, out of the blue, we got $50 and this letter from L. Tomsa. Long time no talk, so I'll get right to it. Uncle Sam was kind to me this year, so I thought I would give back to a network that has brought me so much joy over the past 6 years. If I sound familiar, it's because I'm the proud owner of the Southern Maryland Ghostbusters franchise, though we only saved the world once. Additionally, you may remember me from my participation in the Star Wars coloring contest, but I digress. I recently purchased 2 new controllers for my PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation 4 through your website link on Amazon. This one-time donation I made through nerdyshow.com, however, presents me with a fun problem. With the amount of awesomeness that you guys put out on a weekly, monthly, and yearly basis, where in the heck do I direct my support? In that regard, I'll leave it in your capable hands. Please use this to get that one thing you're so close to being done, that one thing you really want to put out for everyone but haven't quite yet. Let this be that little nudge that it needs to get it done. I don't know what that thing is. Only you do. Please surprise me and everyone else with what that thing is. Yours nerdery, L. Thompson. P.S. Shout out to the Lost Boys, John Carter, Brian Clevenger, and Barty, Colin. P.P.S. Star Wreck, please. Well, Tomsa, well, what I can do for you is this. I can say that we are still working on Star Wreck, and I can say that that money is going to be very well spent on Star Wreck and other things that we need to spend money on for post-production and so on. And I can also play you this audio, which is from an early demo version for the Star Wreck theme written by the band Holy Pink.
Fast forward a little bit. It starts kind of slow.
That's all I get for now.
Do you want Cthulhu, Cap? Because that's how you get Cthulhu.
No, that's a different show. This is how you get Star Wreck. Cthulhu is another program that's also forthcoming. No one can see your cute little face, Matt. Anyhow, I mentioned earlier rating and reviewing us on iTunes and Podchaser, and sometimes people do that, and we read their kind and wonderful messages. Boar, what you got for us?
All right, I found a guest/performer release that I'll read an excerpt from.
Do not do that.
I agree that company shall be the exclusive owner of all copyright and other rights in and to the programming, the performance, and... Oh.
Dude, that's a wrong sheet of paper.
Oh, I thought we were just reading random shit that we found.
I hate this bit gag.
Quantity.
Oh,
one.
Oh, this one that says iTunes and reviews. Okay, got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so
these are iTunes reviews.
So somebody went onto the Derpy Show iTunes and they reviewed our episode 300 and they say, the Wizard of Retcon says, I forgot how much of a gem this stupid podcast was until this episode jogged my memories. All the shenanigans and complete lack of coherency in this show make it in my top five-ish. Well, I am almost thrilled about that.
Thanks, Wizard of Retcon, and if you would like to indulge in Derpy Show 300, you should head to nerdyshow.com/derpyshow.
Or derpyshow.com.
Oh, or derpyshow.com.
Okay, and then we got another iTunes review. I assume this is just for Nerdy Show the show.
Yeah, it is.
It says, check it out by Chim Chim's Revenge. These guys know their stuff, and the show covers a gamut of nerdy topics. The hosts are fun, and each has a great personality in their own right. Deserves way more attention than it's getting. Nerdy Show is not to be missed.
Nice. Thanks, Chim Chim.
Nice.
Sales receipt number 126339.
Why?
And this can says Prongles.
That's great.
I didn't pop yet.
Damn it. Dang.
Have you seen Altered Carbon, Cap?
I did.
Did you guys talk about Altered Carbon?
No.
I haven't seen it. We haven't talked about it. Nothing. What are you doing? What does that sigh mean? Is that sigh at me? Is that a sigh at Altered Carbon?
That's a sigh at
I
you.
I feel like we did talk about how my favorite character was a hotel.
We did
that
say
was,
that.
I think, on Slack or...
No, I think I said it on the show.
We were talking about Cyberpunk in our last full-length episode. We were talking about the amazing Netflix film Mute.
We kind of briefly touched on.
Yeah.
Poe is great, though.
That's the name of the hotel?
Yeah.
Everyone says good things about that hotel, that sentient hotel. I just know it exists. I don't know anything else about it. So what do we need to know about Altered Carbon? Sell it to me, Matt. Make me think, boy, there's a lot of things I could do with my extremely limited time, but I'm going to make that the thing that I do.
So you're a big fan of Cyberpunk and Blade Runner and just weird sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
This is all sorts of... amalgamation of Blade Runner and cyberpunk and weird crazy sci-fi.
The whole weird premise behind the entire show is that everybody has these little discs called stacks inserted into their spinal column somewhere like right above, right in the middle of their neck.
Yeah.
That seems like a good move. Go on.
Yeah, it
continuously backs up your consciousness onto this disc. So if you like get into an accident or die or something, as long as that disc doesn't get damaged, you can just put you into a new body. And bodies are sort of seen as disposable sleeves.
Yeah, that's what the slang form is sleeves. And it's a very, very dystopian society where if you're poor or just average, you know, if something happens to you and they put you in a new sleeve, there's no guarantee that you're going to get your own body. You're just
or
gonna
even
get...
one that's remotely anything so like what you would want.
They had a scene in the opening of the show where it's a 7-year-old girl that got hit by a car, and they put her in the body of like a 70-year-old woman because that's just what they had. Unless,
that's nice.
Unless you're rich and one of the 1% that can afford to have your body cloned and stored so that when you die you can be put into your own body
if you want your original body.
I have a question. Why didn't they just let the little girl die?
That's part of the way society has just evolved, where it's because
their parents wanted her back.
Your consciousness is forever preserved on this stack unless the stack itself is destroyed. It's death itself is not kind of seen as like
permanent,
final and permanent as it is. So it's almost more ethical to put you back.
But there's a lot of, they touch on other things like people like you just said, where like they don't want to come back. So some people have like a do not re-sleeve order.
Yeah, it's like a DNR
for religious purposes or whatever.
So they're going sleeveless.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
No, but then, if you have that kind of technology, if, say, somebody was murdered, but you were able to recover their stack, then wouldn't you want to be able, like, even if they had a do not re-sleeve order, wouldn't you want to be able to boot that person up for a few minutes and just figure out who their murderer was? So there's, like, weird ethical questions like that that they deal with, along with the overall story, which is just...
They have a lot of prostitution where it's like people are that can afford to pay for it are actually paying to be able to kill people. So it's like smut films, basically.
You mean snuff films?
Yeah, there we go. Snuff films. And then what was some of the other crazy shit? They're having like fight clubs where people are put into like genetically modified bodies that are basically
you could have fights to the death without any permanent problems.
Yeah.
I think they were, weren't they fighting for essentially pinks?
Yeah,
pink slips,
basically.
Like, you get upgraded bodies if you win?
Yeah, the at the super rich party.
Yeah.
This sounds not too dissimilar from some of the core premise of The Surrogates. The comic book, not the film. I haven't seen the film. I mean, it's probably the same, but I don't know. Has anybody seen or read The Surrogates?
But
I have not.
No. But Trench and I haven't really touched on the main story. But we probably don't really even need to. Like, the world is really cool by itself, and then there's sort of a story of
it's one of those ones that just
kind of
throws you into the universe. It doesn't really give you a whole lot of, like, over time it explains the universe and gives you an idea, but starting out it just kind of throws you in and like you're in the deep end, no idea what the fuck's going on.
That's an interesting premise. What about Electric Dreams? Has anyone watched Electric Dreams on Amazon?
No.
That's a Philip K. Dick inspired thing. It's got Janelle Monáe in it, the arch android.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't seen it though.
Hmm.
Does she sing?
I don't know.
Yeah.
She
was in Stargate Universe.
What?
As herself.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Huh.
That's super weird. Awesome.
I mean, she was on Earth performing as herself, so it wasn't that weird, really.
Oh, okay. It's not, so it wasn't exactly like that time that
she wasn't like
Bill
on
Nye
another planet at herself.
Okay.
I mean, they were still just on Earth as themselves, like doing things that weren't too out of,
so it wasn't like they cut to a Janelle Monáe music video and they're like guest starring Janelle Monáe.
No, like the characters went to her concert.
Okay. Yeah. Huh. She a Stargate fan? Seems like it probably would be.
I don't know, maybe. I've never met her.
I'll ask her. I've never met her either. No, actually that's not true. I did meet her.
What? How could you forget that? You just forgot that?
Well, it's weird. Okay, so I did meet her. I met her in the same way, like, hey, I really love your music, nice to meet you. Like that. I mean, it was that.
I mean, that sort of counts.
Sort of. I've seen her speak at Moogfest a couple times, and last time she was there, she was doing a panel about Hidden Figures, the movie she was in last year, which I wanted to see but didn't end up seeing. I heard it was okay.
I imagine thousands of people probably have stories like that about meeting me. They're like, oh, well, I just got to say, hey, Boar.
Hey, really, really, really love Derpy Show. It's great. It's one of my, it's in my top five-ish shows. Yeah. And
I can't even imagine how many people out there have that kind of story to tell.
I mean,
I'm flattered, that I'm able to say that.
At least you've stayed humble.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the,
I'm the most humble person that I know.
I did not have what you would call a conversation with Janelle Monáe, but she was very sweet and very nice for all of 2 seconds that we interacted.
Sweet!
Maybe someday I can have something resembling an actual conversation with her.
Oh, I thought you were going to say relationship.
That would be great. She seems really nice.
But I would say if you haven't seen it yet, you need to see Altered Carbon. I know it has kind of gotten some negative reviews from critics, but that's because it's sci-fi and weird.
The only thing about that show is it's like a very heavy show. Like, I had a hard time watching more than two episodes in a row. Just because, like, so much is going on and you, like, kind of need time to process it. And I don't know. It's just more lighthearted shows. I find it easier to, like, steamroll through.
It's not for kids.
No, not even
a little bit. There's lots
Did anyone imply that it was?
It's like the most gory,
thing. Yeah, full frontal male and female nudity, drug use, violence.
Yeah, you name it. Every single vice you can think of is, I mean.
So, like, on the same scale as Westworld?
Maybe worse.
Well, maybe worse. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. I don't think, did Westworld have too much knife raping?
I still haven't seen.
Knife raping.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. that's my favorite word combo, Bor. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to get into specifics by what I meant by that either. Because it might be worse than you think.
Oh. Sign me up. Super psyched for that.
They might not have actually showed that. I think they just talked about
They'll
it. But
talk
anyway.
About it.
Yeah.
Okay. I got a bit weird comic book / movie news.
How much knife rape is in it?
Are Pogs getting their own comic book?
And movie. Pogs the comic book, Pogs the movie. You remember that the little like Pog mascot? He was kind of like a little caveman.
Who's playing Slammer?
Actually,
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, exactly. And Adam Sandler, as expected, is taking the lead as a little Pog caveman. Pogsley, they named him. He didn't have a name before, but he's just called Pogsley now. And let's see, Adam Savage is playing Magic 8-Ball. And
receipt total 24-43.
This is good improv. Thank you. Flying without a net here. Awesome. okay, dig this. This is the most unusual juxtaposition. Never would have in a million years assumed this is going to happen. This is super weird. Archie is being yet again adapted, but this time officially as a Bollywood film.
Oh, no.
This doesn't sound like the same unexpected, like, Archie is going to be a very dark primetime soap opera. And you're like, oh, no, that's... I mean, same thing, right? If Riverdale was good, could this not be also good?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
This is going
to
be the
I mean, I will admit to not being like a connoisseur of Bollywood films, but just what I know about Bollywood and the tendencies they have.
Think about the song of Jughead singing to a hamburger.
Oh, no.
That's going to be so
good. I want that.
Yeah, I want that
it
too.
It needs to be Dollar Menday.
Yes, Dollar Menday is going to be in. He's not. They haven't announced a cast. Anyway, this is going to be the first international comic to be translated to Indian screens. This is the first time there's been an official adaptation. I mean, there's Indian Spider-Man. That wasn't official. It's in early stages. There's no release date announced yet. But it is with Archie Comics in partnership with the largest comics group in India, Graphic India, who do a bunch of stuff with Grant Morrison. This is like a pretty big production, so
I'm imagining an Indian guy with like a blonde wig, and I think that's the main.
No, like, it's gonna be an all Indian cast. This is meant to be a truly Indian adaptation of the character archetypes of the Archie comics.
Yeah. Okay. I just imagine they're gonna put really weird wigs on them, and they're gonna look weird.
No, they put a great emphasis on it having like an Indian cast, and then that being a component of it. So
okay, that's good.
Yeah. So yeah, it's not going to be like this reverse whitewashing. I don't know, whatever the wigs imply.
Oh, kind of like what happened with Full Metal Alchemist.
What happened with Full Metal Alchemist?
The newest Full Metal Alchemist movie.
I've heard people say
like
bad things about it, but I don't know anything about any of it.
The reason it's bad isn't what I was going to say, but the movie is about European people, and then they kind of like put wigs on Japanese people.
Oh
yeah, it was weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, well, that is an odd choice. That's an odd choice, but yeah, Indian cast, that's gonna be the point. It's gonna the there's a they have a graphic for it, and it's it's the silhouettes of Archie, Jughead, Veronica, and Betty, like on a car looking out over this vague Indian skyline of modern buildings and, you know, traditional Indian architecture. So that's the vibe, I guess. It's going to be, I don't know, cut from that cloth.
I can tell you that I'm probably not going to watch it.
Okay, well, I'm going to watch it and I'll tell you what I think.
Okay, sweet.
But do you know about
deal?
Do you know about the other Archie series that's happening?
Oh no! There's, what now?
There's a Sabrina series coming to Netflix.
Hold on.
As my understanding is that it's based on the Sabrina horror comic that's currently out from Archie. That is a very, very rated R Lovecraftian.
Wait, what
comic
does Sabrina book. Have to do with Archie?
They're in the same universe.
Oh God, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They've actually mentioned the town that Sabrina's from, just across the river, a number of times in Riverdale.
I would never have caught that because I never watched Sabrina enough to know what town she was from.
Or read Sabrina. Or
I didn't even know it was a comic book.
Yeah, it was a comic book before it was a hit 90s sitcom.
There's so much stuff to know.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure I'm on the same page.
Anyway.
Was that before or after? Is Clarissa in the next town over too?
No, that was the Nick property.
Oh, okay.
We'll see if they start rebooting any of their classic live
action
stuff.
I'm going to have to find
her
so she can explain it all.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to hear her explanation of this.
Do we have to resurrect Billy Bones so we can learn about the witch's secrets?
That's another thing also.
Hocus Pocus. As opposed to Witches, the, you know, really, really good witch movie.
Yeah, the Roald Dahl witch movie. As opposed to Witches of Eastwick, another good witch movie.
Well, the Blair Witch Project?
A bad witch movie.
Are you sure?
Witch?
A delicious sandwich. This episode brought to you by Witch. It's not. But I wish it was. Hey, Witch.
Give us some sandwiches.
We'll talk about you all day long, baby. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Nerdy Show. We'll see you next week. Bye. I'm Cap.
I'm Trench.
I'm Boar.
And I was John.
And now you're not.
Oh shit.
Not anymore.